Hi, and welcome to the Passionistas Project podcast. We're Amy and Nancy Harrington, and today we're talking to Karen Arsenault, a dancer, choreographer, personal trainer, and fitness coach. She's trained at the American Dance Festival in North Carolina, the Martha Graham School of Contemporary Dance, and the Alvin Ailey School. And currently, her Elite Physique 247 fitness class has taken Long Island by storm. So please welcome to the show, Karen Arsenault.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Karen, what are you most passionate about?
I'm most passionate about inspiring others through dance and fitness. Dance called me. I think I was in the third grade, and the librarian was giving away books. And I was very shy back then, and I just stared at this one book. It had the threading, and it was torn, and it had a picture of a pointe shoe on the cover of the book. And I just prayed. I was like, I hope no one gets that book. I hope no one takes that book. So when everyone left the library, the book was still there. I picked up the book and took it home. And to this day, I don't know where the book is, but I realized in thinking about how I came to this thing called dance, that was like the first image of it, the first thing that got me interested, that piqued my interest. It's that pointe shoe.
And how did you get physically involved with it after that?
I was on a cheerleading team in middle school, and then I wanted to try out for dance team in high school. My mom was strongly opposed, but my father was an artist, and he's like, come on, she's an artist. You got to let her do it. So she let me audition for the dance team, and that was my first, because I never had any formal training. I auditioned for the dance team. I just love moving. I just love moving and picked up movement quickly and just loved it. So that's in high school. And then when I went to college, that's where it got a little tricky because I've always wanted to work with kids. And I initially went into college to try to study to be a pediatrician. And my mom, everybody was happy about that. But then a year into the program, I want to dance. I saw these girls walking back and forth from the dorms with pink tights on. Hey, that pink ballet shoe. And I was like, I got to do this. So I spoke to my mom and dad. And my mom was like, what are you going to do with a career in dance? Like, what are you going to choreograph videos? What are you going to do? So eventually my dad ended up talking her into it again to let me do it. And it's been history ever since, you know, going to college and studying with girls who have been dancing since they were three. I got my formal education in college, my sophomore year in college. And I just love it.
How does that translate now into what you do for a living?
I studied at University of Louisiana Lafayette. It was University of Southwestern Louisiana. And there was auditions to come and study for the Ailey School. And I said, okay, you know what? I was up here. I came to New York in 1996 for the Graham Intensive, Martha Graham. And there was an audition at the Ailey School for their certificate program. I was like, okay, this is not coincidence. I'm supposed to do this. So I auditioned and got into the program. Graduated from college, and that summer I moved up by myself to New York to study dance at Alvin Ailey. I never thought I would be a teacher, never thought I would be a choreographer. When I was in college, I said, I do not want to choreograph. I don't want to have anything to do with it. It's too hard. I don't want to teach. I just want to dance. Now I'm a choreographer and a dance instructor.
How did that happen?
After graduating from the certificate program, it was a two-year program. And I was asked to work as an assistant to the school director and the BFA program administrator. My first thought was I did not come to New York. I did not move to New York from Louisiana to work in the back office. I came to New York to dance. So I said, you know what? Divine intervention. Okay, let me just follow. Let me just go with it. And maybe 3 months into being an administrative assistant, I was promoted to school administrator. And within being the school administrator, there were some instructors who didn't show up for class. And I was like, I'll teach. And so that's where the teaching began, just because someone didn't show up for class. And I was like, okay, I'll do it.
And so once you started teaching, did you just realize that you loved it? Why were you reluctant to do it in the first place?
I wanted to dance. Now, I do remember, now that you bring that up, I do remember we did have to take pedagogy classes in college. And I remember there was a young girl, 5 years old. Her name was Simone. She had the prettiest feet. Oh, my God, beautiful feet. And each of us had to take turns teaching, you know, to lead the class. And no one could get Simone to dance. But when it was my turn, I said, I'm going to get Simone to dance. Simone was running, flipping, jumping, doing everything. So I think it's like, all right, well, maybe I could give this thing a try. You know, if I got Simone to dance, Maybe I could do this with teenagers and young adults, and to show a child that they can do more than what they think they're capable of. It was it after that. I said, this is, I want to do this, because to see them, that the transformation from I can't to wait a minute, I can do this. Oh my gosh, Miss A believes in me, so then why don't I believe in myself? So that's, and it only took about a month into like randomly going into sub those classes that I said, okay, I have to do this. This has to be an extension of what I do.
You've trained at some of the most iconic places in dance. Who were some of your mentors during your time in those places, and what are some of the greatest lessons that you've learned?
My mentors, Anna Marie Forsythe, she wrote the book on the Horton technique, the Lester Horton technique, which is what I teach now. She was one of my mentors, the late Denise Jefferson. She was the director of the Ailey School, and she was like a second mother. And I would have to say, my college professor, ballet instructor, this is something that I will never forget to this day. I went away to ADF, the American Dance Festival in North Carolina, and went there. There was so many students go there to perform over the summer and just to learn from different artists. And I went there not believing in myself, not believing in my ability. And all these notable people in the dance industry, many of them chose me to be in their workshops. So when I got back to college for the fall semester, Sarah Stravinsky is her name. And she said, you know what? That's one thing about an experience. No one can take it from you. So you keep that experience and you remember that every time someone tries to take you off course or try to tell you something against who you know you are, remember that. And I have kept that with me to this day. And that was years, years ago.
Talk just a little bit about Alvin Ailey and his legacy.
Mr. Ailey believed that dance was for the people and should be given back to the people. So he thought that, dance should be made accessible to everyone. And that legacy lives on. Not only do I teach for the school, but there's an extension program that the general public, anyone who just loves to move, just wants to dance and wants to feel like a dancer, they can come into that program and dance. I mean, I have so many different students who have come through that program and they leave like, oh my gosh, you make me feel like a dancer. Wow, I didn't know I could do that. And so to be able to teach 9-year-olds up to 60, 70-year-olds and make them all feel good and believe that they can be more than what they think, it's an amazing thing. And Mr. Ailey believed in that from day one, So he's not here with us anymore, but his ideas about dance and what we should do with this incredible art form, it still lives today. It's strong, it's alive, and many people are being touched as a result of it. I mean, right now, the choreography that I'm studying for the Ailey Extension Performance Workshop, I have a 60-something-year-old woman in my workshop. She's like, I don't know if I can do this. My kids are saying, I better not mess up. I said, don't worry about it. And I have a 20-something-year-old in there. So it's the diversity is amazing, but all of them are going to be on stage and they will look like dancers. It's amazing. I said an 18-minute piece on them.
Can you describe it a little bit?
The title of the piece is called Moments, and it just is based on different moments in our life where different moments where we feel frustrated, where we feel indecisive, where we feel happy and funny and silly, where we're just, ticked off. And then moments of just peace, it's like that cup of chai tea, just the warmth. And then with all that, finding the balance, like you need all those moments because they make you who you are. And so that last section is about just resolution and being happy with all those different moments because you are who you are because of those moments. It's a beautiful piece.
Why do you find that so many diverse people are drawn to dance? Like this woman you're talking about who's in her 60s, like why all of a sudden do you think she's doing this?
Movement is universal. I mean, we move in our daily life. I'm moving right now, moving my hands. You have to walk. That's movement. Brushing your teeth is movement. So if you can't say it in words, guess what? You can say it in movement. You could express yourself through movement. And a lot of my students, I find that I had one woman, another, she was in her 60s, and she took one of my Zumba classes. And she said, you know what? That thumbs up you gave me in the beginning of class, it got me through the class. You looked at me, we were moving, and I dealt with a death in the family. But the fact that I'm here moving, it's helping me to deal with this. I had another student, she had been dealing with stuff over the summer, just tragedy after tragedy. But she said coming into dance class really helped her get through a horrible summer. So dance is very therapeutic, very therapeutic. You can work out a lot of stuff through dance.
Tell us about the Genesis Dance Company and what the mission of the company is.
The mission is to uplift and inspire. And while we're on hiatus right now, it's been a while since we've met. Changes in my life meant I had to prioritize. I'm a single mother. I had this idea, never had a company. I just said, hey, I'm going to put on a performance. Little old me from Louisiana is going to put on a performance in New York with all these big companies, big choreographers, big names. And I just gathered a group of dancers and I said, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know when we're going to do it, but let's just rehearse. So like about a month into rehearsals, one of the dancers said, do we have a name? I said, you know what? I never thought about that. And as I was walking home one night from the train station, the word Genesis came into my head and I said, wow, yes, Genesis, the first, the beginning. And then there was a little voice that said, duh, why wouldn't it be called Genesis? You know, this is the beginning of something new for dance. Just telling a story in a different way, inspiring through the movement that you do, inspiring through the songs. That was before September 11th. I think my first performance, actually our debut was 2002. And we had started rehearsing in 2001. And it grew out of that desire to just say, I'm going to put on a performance. I'm going to put on a show, you know. And 9 years later, we've been putting on performances. People were touched. I remember one of the pieces was about my experiences with domestic violence. And one lady who was came from Detroit, and she left and said, now I know what I need to do with this relationship I'm in, just from watching that one piece. So the mission is being fulfilled. The mission has been fulfilled from day one because the movement is pure. The message is pure. Everything is just authentic. And I teach from a true place. I choreograph from a true place. And it's easy to relate. It's easy to connect because it's human experiences.
And how do you pick a piece of music to dance to make a piece about?
Sometimes I'll hear music and I'm like, okay, I like that. It's inspiring me. I want to choreograph to that. Now, with this recent piece, I'm always up after 2 o'clock in the morning. My brain is always creating. So I said, okay, I don't know what I want to do. I know I want it to be about moments. So I'm just up 2 o'clock in the morning. And I said, let me just go on in iTunes and just start listening to some stuff. And amazingly, I found this piece of music from a game, Fallout 4, some game console that, but the music, I loved it. And all of the tracks, I have 8 sections in this piece, and all of the tracks are from these games that the kids play. Then sometimes I'll hear some lyrical music that the message in it, it touches and it speaks and it will add to the choreography. And so I'll choose that. So it varies. I leave myself open to the choreographic process. I leave myself open to what type of music. I don't confine myself to, oh, I only want to dance or choreograph to one piece of music. No, I'm open to it.
Do you have a favorite piece that you've choreographed so far?
I would have to say my favorite is the piece that I did about Hurricane Katrina. It's a 60-minute piece, and it was about just everything that happened because I'm from Louisiana. And I found out like a few weeks after the event, my brother was in the Superdome and had experienced a lot of what was being covered on the news. And so it's poignant, and it just tells the story of these people.
So let's talk about your work in the fitness industry. Tell us about Elite Physique 247.
I've always been mesmerized by beautiful bodies, just strong, strong bodies. And once again, in college, all of the girls in class with me, they had the nicest calves. And my little calves were so small. And I was like, what are they doing to get those calves? So one semester, I took a weightlifting class and I said, I have to train. And I loved it. I loved the idea of working your body and transforming it to what you want it to look like. I love the idea of working hard and you work hard and that delivers results. This was in college. Didn't know I wanted to be a personal trainer back then. I just know I loved anything involving movement. And I just love the bodies. I mean, dancers, you're around dancers all day. You see calves, you see abs, you know, and I wanted all that. You know, I was naturally small, but the definition and the calves, I wanted those calves. So I took that weightlifting class and I would create little programs for myself to do at home. Remember Get in Shape Girl? I had my little journal and I would write out different programs to exercise, you know, and I would do it for a certain time and then stop. But then when I, 10, 20 years later, this has all been in me from the beginning and I just didn't know. that those things that I did back then, I'm doing them now. I'm creating programs now. I love my fitness classes. We have so much fun. I'm dancing for them. I'm singing for them. And it takes their mind off of what they're doing. Now, they do feel it the next day because they come back. Oh, my gosh, I couldn't walk for a whole week. You know, but they're so transformed in the process of me singing and dancing. But their bodies are being transformed. They feel inspired through the birthday messages that I got. They're like, oh, my God, you're just so inspirational. The best fitness classes I've ever had. I love coming to class. It's not dreadful. I love working out because of you. So it's just taking the love of dance and applying what I do in dance and applying it in fitness.
And did you get the calves?
Have you seen her pictures?
I'm still working on them. They're better. They are better. And let me tell you, yesterday I'm on this plank kick. I always do challenges for my people. And we did a 30-day plank challenge last year. And I decided, I said, why stop? What you get out of a challenge happens after the challenge. If you stop what you were doing in a challenge, then you lose all that you've gained. So yesterday made 325 days of planks that I've been doing, and I'm going for the year. I only have a few more days, and I will be at a year of planking. And I'm hoping people come on board. I'm like, if you got 20 seconds, just hold the plank for 20 seconds a day, because your core is the foundation to your movement. I say that in all of my videos. If you want your movement strong, your core has to be strong.
How can the average person incorporate principles like this into daily routines, promoting a healthy lifestyle through dance and fitness and nutrition? Mm-hmm.
I say take it one day at a time. You can't make big changes all in one day. So if it means, okay, you know what? I'm going to start drinking more water. Do that. And once you get the hang of that, once it's a habit, because I think fitness, health, wellness, it has to be a lifestyle. It can't be something that you do on a whim when you have to get into a dress, when you have to get in a certain pair of pants, or when you have to go to the beach. If it's a lifestyle, you don't have to rush and crash diet, which you end up gaining more weight after the crash diet than before, you know? So if you take those small changes, make them a habit, start drinking water like the planks. Can you hold 10 seconds? Try to hold 10 seconds every day. 10 seconds goes by really quickly. And then eventually, like after 2 months, you realize, wow, I'm drinking a lot of water. Wow, I'm getting planks in. Oh my gosh, I'm walking. You know, so it's you take it one day at a time and try not to overload yourself with 10, 20 things, because you're not going to be able to maintain it. And you also have to know that you're human. If for some reason you miss it one day, that's okay. That's okay. Just get back up and do it the next day. So you can't be too hard on yourself. You know, and say, oh, well, since I missed a day, I'm just going to give up. No, you can't give up. You got to keep pushing, because you only have one body. This is another thing I say on my videos. You only have one body. You have to be mindful in how you care for it physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We don't have a spare body in the closet. So you got to take care of the one you have. You make small changes, and those small changes lead to big changes, and then that leads to lasting results. And also, I did a nutrition challenge back in 2016. I'm still eating some of the things that I put out in that 2016 challenge. So I made it a habit. I like my eggs with my apple and my peanut butter. So I got my protein. I got my healthy carb. I got my, you know, my peanut butter, the protein from that. And that's like my go-to breakfast. So I've been doing that since 2016. I had it earlier today.
We're Amy and Nancy Harrington, and you're listening to the Passionistas Project podcast and our interview with Karen Arsenault. If you're looking for inspiration, go to popculturepassionistas.com to see some photos of Karen in action. And visit karenated.com to join one of her New York area classes or follow along to her exercise videos. Now here's more of our interview with Karen Arsenault. You mentioned earlier you're a single mother, so how do you balance all this with being a mother?
I'm not going to lie, it's a struggle. I'm glad that my kids are teens, so they could, you know, do a lot of stuff for themselves. I have a son and a daughter. My son is 18. My daughter just turned 16. And I'm running back and forth, different places teaching. But I still want to try to find time for them. Now, my son, no, mom, you go do that. I'm good. So he's like, he doesn't care about hanging out with mom. Mom is not cool. But my daughter, she likes to hang out. You know, she wants to go to Starbucks. She wants to go to the mall. She wants to get her nails done. She wants to do things. So it's trying to find that time to do that with her. And I also want to work out with her, because that's bonding time. You know, we're training together, but that's a time you're putting forth all this effort and you're vulnerable at that time. And we could probably talk about stuff that we probably wouldn't talk about when we're at home just lounging around. So I'm still trying to find that balance, because when you have, okay, got to pay rent, got to make sure the kids are fed. My son eats a whole bunch of food. My daughter wants this. It's hard to try to make all that work. So it's like, make sure the priorities are taken care of, but still try to find that time. And I'm still working on that. I have them do like affirmations, like their I am statements. And so we used to do them together. But now I'm like, when my daughter's going to the bus, I said, did you say your I am statements? Did you, you know, you do this? Yes, I did, Mom. Okay. Make sure you do it. You know, I am beautiful. I am smart. I am kind. I'm helpful. I'm healthy. All that stuff. So I get it in, you know, when I can, but it's a struggle. I'm not going to lie. It's a struggle.
And what do you do on days where you aren't motivated, but you have to be? How do you get yourself going?
I think of my two kids. Yeah, I think of Kyron and Chrislyn. If, you know, they can't fend for themselves, I'm the only one they have. So no matter how tired I am, I still have to get up and do it. Now, the planks don't affect them at all. But when I make a commitment, I have to fulfill that commitment. Anytime I issue a challenge to, whether it's my dancers, whether it's my fitness clients, I do it with them. I hold myself accountable. So like last night, my birthday, I got home at 11:40. Guess what? Birthday doesn't stop planks. I was tired, but I still got and did those planks. And I made sure to let the camera see the time so people could see, nope, I got my planks in today. Today is 3:25. I got them in. So you just have to do it. No matter how tired you are, you have to do it. And then I'm thankful that I've done it in the end. Work, I got to work. If I don't work, I don't get paid. So that's the incentive there. But as far as training and doing like anything for myself, I have to do it. I have to. If I'm going to dish it out, then I have to take it as well. If I'm going to say, hey, I want you to do planks, but you're not doing them. Yes, I am. I want you to do several squats. Hey, I'm doing it. I think yesterday made 230 something days. I've been doing squats and push-ups. You know, so my thing is I ask you to do it, but I'm doing it as well. And one of the comments I put in one of my posts, it's not about practicing what you preach. It's about preaching what you practice, because therein lies the truth. So I'm preaching what I'm practicing.
Is there one lesson you've learned so far on your journey that really sticks with you?
Just be true to yourself. In this age with social media, I find that we're always trying to be like this one and be like that one. And you run into so many problems when you do that. And if I'm authentically me, then no one can come and say, oh, well, no, this is who I am. I'm giving you truth. I'm giving you who I am. You like it, you love it, you hate it, but I'm going to be me. And I love what I do. And it shows. It shows. So I think just being true to myself, if I mess up, so what? I'm human. Last night in class, I messed up. I said, hey, guys, I'm human. Just keep moving. People appreciate honesty. People appreciate you being true. I'm not perfect. I don't think anyone is. And if you can embrace your imperfection and embrace all that, you don't have anything to worry about. You don't have to look over your shoulder trying to be something that you're not. My curls, hey, I'm getting a little gray here. My mom says I need to color my hair, but I don't know if I'm going to do it. But I embrace everything and I just stay true to myself. That's the best way to go.
What's the biggest professional challenge you've faced and how have you overcome it?
One year from one of my workshops, one of my performance workshops, I had 53 people signed up for my workshop. You got to choreograph a piece on 53 people. That's 53 different people, individual personalities, individual work ethics, beginner, intermediate, advanced, lazy, want to work hard, not showing up for rehearsal. But I made it work. I took it, like I said, one day at a time, and I didn't stress myself out. Said, okay, you know what? You are a choreographer. Make sure the movement works for their bodies. Create movement that works for the individual. Don't try to put movement on someone that's beyond what they're capable of doing. Make sure everyone is having fun in the process because it's a journey. The workshop is a journey. Not only are they to learn movement, but they're to learn something about themselves as well, about picking up movement, about working together, about working with different people, about how to resolve conflict. So it was a challenge. But the piece went off without a hitch. It was a beautiful piece. Maybe three people dropped out, but there were major people on stage and they all looked good. And it's because I was organized. It makes no sense to stress. This is what I need to do. Take each rehearsal, one rehearsal at a time. Don't think of the ninth rehearsal when you're at the first rehearsal. Why do that? first rehearsal, let's do what we need to do. Okay, from the first rehearsal, then I say, this is what I need to do for the second rehearsal. So it's just about being organized and making that work.
What's the most important thing you've learned about yourself from teaching that workshop?
I'm a very patient person because, you know, sometimes you have attitudes and you got to deal with those attitudes. And then I can't take the attitudes personally. I can't react. So it's like, okay, you know what? Let's redirect that negative energy. We're all here for the purpose of dance. Dance is a beautiful thing. We journey through dance. We take the audience on a journey through dance. So, okay, if you're having a bad day, take a moment and then let's come back in and realize why we're here. And let's make sure that we're staying focused on what we're trying to do in this rehearsal. So it's learning that I'm patient and learning how to deal with conflict and trying to deal with conflict in the most positive way, not to aggravate it and make it worse. 53 people against me.
Looking at your journey so far, is there one decision that you think has been the most courageous that sort of changed the trajectory of your path?
I teach at the gym. I teach at Ailey. And to step out and branch out on your own and have your own classes that people come to and take with you to do pop-up classes where people sign up, that's hard. It's challenging because you don't have the institution to fall back on. New York Sports Club, the people are going to come to class. That's a given. They're going to come to class. They're already members of the gym. I don't have to go solicit. I don't have to promote. I don't have to do that. Ailey, people love Ailey. They're going to come to class. Granted, they're not coming for the four walls. They're coming for me because of the experience I give them in the class. But when I stepped out and said, okay, I'm going to do my own class. I'm going to do my own Horton class. I'm going to do my own Zumba class. I'm going to do my own dance fit. And to have people show up. I think the first class I had, I tried to combine my people from different gyms and from New York, the city, and 53 people showed up. That was like, okay, you can do this. This had nothing to do with the institutions, the facilities that I taught. It had to do with people supporting me and wanting to be a part of this movement, which is called the Get Carinated movement. And so then it made me, okay, you know what? So I want to have weekly classes. I have weekly classes in Freeport in Long Island, and I'm trying to get some weekly classes started up in the city. I've done a lot of pop-ups in the city that have been well attended. And now it's just a matter of having that courage. I've done it on the island, having that courage to do something that's consistent. And you know what? It may not be heavily populated with the first class, and that's okay. That's okay. But consistency, those numbers will build, those numbers will grow.
When you were a girl growing up, what did your mom teach you about women's roles in society?
My mom is a very strong woman, and she basically taught me that as a woman, I can do whatever I set my mind to. There's no, this is for a man, this is for a woman. There were no double standards in her house. If we couldn't date at 16, my brother, who's older than me, he couldn't date at 16. So she didn't believe in double standards. And she believed that you work hard and you strive for excellence in all you do. I remember her saying, if you have to clean bathrooms, you make sure that bathroom is spotless because you do things with excellence and your record will follow you. It will follow you. And I've taken that with me to this day. And that's why there's so many people outpouring of support with messages. You know, you deserve this. You deserve that. You're inspirational. Everything you bring into class. Excellence. Got to do everything with excellence. If I'm not proud of what I've done, then I have not done my job. I have to be proud of the work I put out. You know, and the only way I can be proud of it is if I'm committed to excellence from start to finish. No half-stepping, no cutting corners, quality.
Did you have other influential female role models when you were growing up?
I'd like to say Debbie Allen. I don't know her personally, although I did work with her daughter. I set her jury solo at Ailey when she was a freshman. She was in one of my pieces. And Debbie Allen was the first person I saw, girl growing up in Louisiana, and there was no real dance, you know, real true dance. And I saw her on Fame. And I was like, okay, she can do it. I can do it. And she's been my inspiration. And to come back full circle and work with her daughter, set a solo on her daughter, set a group work that her daughter was in, I'm just like, can the universe just like, God, what's going on? Can you just continue blessing me? What's up with all these blessings? You know? So, and then I have a shirt. I just received it in the mail. It says, I want to be Debbie Allen when I grow up. So I have to wear it to my dance class and take a picture and tag her on Instagram.
What's your proudest career achievement?
I was in a master's program online, University of Phoenix, and I had my daughter during the first week of one of the courses. This is an accelerated course online, passed the course with an A. I don't know how I did it, but I did it. And I was like, wow. And it was rough to have a newborn baby. And my son was two and a half. Yeah. And to pass that course, that was an achievement. That was an achievement. But then it brings you back to my mom saying, do everything with excellence. You know, so that was ingrained in me. So just because you have a 1 week old, just because you, that doesn't mean you have to slack on excellence. You got to do it. You know, you signed up for it. You got to commit to it. And you got to complete the task.
So you teach a lot of people of all ages, but you teach a lot of young women. So what advice do you give to young women who want to be dancers?
You have to believe in yourself. I find that too many people, they put all their eggs in the basket of someone else believing in them. And this is what I learned at ADF. If I don't believe in myself, no one else will believe in me. I have to believe in self first and then others. Whether they believe in me or not, it has to come from me first. So that's what I tell my dancers. You have to believe in yourself first. You have to make sure that you're working hard because it doesn't come easy. You have to be committed and dedicated to the process. But you got to have that belief in self. You can't doubt yourself. If you mess up, guess what? Don't stay in the mess up. Chalk it up. Okay, you know what? Yes, I messed up. But guess what? I always tell my dancers, if you're going to focus on that one bad thing, I told them, I said, you got to give me 10 positive things that you've done today. Then guess what? They stop being so negative. They stop focusing on that one negative because they realize, oh, maybe the tendu didn't work today. But boy, I sure did two turns. My plie was nice and juicy, you know? So and that's what I tell them. And they walk away with that. And you could see the transformation once they learn that.
What's your secret to a rewarding life?
It's just doing things that make you happy. If I'm not happy, I'm not going to do it. If at the end of the day, it's going to bring me stress, don't do it. So just be happy, live, love, laugh, laugh a lot. If you can't laugh at yourself, oh my gosh, I laugh at myself a lot. I will sit here in the living room and just crack jokes by myself. You know, I'm in class teaching and the students don't get the joke. I said, that's okay. I got the joke. I'm still going to laugh at it. And then they laugh at the fact that I'm laughing at myself. So just be happy. Do things that make you happy. Live in the moment, in every moment, and cherish the moment and laugh. Laugh.
What's your definition of success?
Definition of success is being able to do what I love every single day. I know some of my peers, they have, you know, full-time jobs, and then they do the dance, the fitness on the side. But this is all I do. It's all I do. My world is surrounded by movement. It's all I do. Now, granted, do I need to make more money? Yeah, but that'll come. That'll come. But I'm happy. I go to work, and it's not like I'm working. I'm having fun. I'm having so much fun that it doesn't feel like work. So to me, that's success for me, that I get to live my passion. I get to work my passion every single day, and I'm affecting lives in a positive way every single day, every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Passionistas Project podcast and our interview with Karen Arsenault. Since we recorded our interview, Karen completed 365 days of planks and kept going. You can join her 30-day plank challenge on her Facebook page at KA Elite Physique. Or visit getkarenated.com to see the schedule for her New York area classes and see her exercise videos. And be sure to subscribe to the Passionistas Project podcast so you don't miss any of our upcoming inspiring guests.